Go ahead. Yeah. Hey, can you pull out this real card real quick? I know Ricky went over it. It says thanks and giving. We pledged 600,000 hours of volunteer service this year. We are just over 500,000 hours. We have 6 weeks to go. So this week, I want to challenge y'all to do something this week. Y'all on vacation already from school? Okay. So how many of y'all on vacation from school yet? How many of y'all got to go to school tomorrow? You have school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Okay, so you got Thursday, Friday. Huh? Monday, Tuesday? Well, you got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You could do something. Now, let's go down the list real quick. The list. Provide a meal to a fire station. The guys at the firehouse, they don't have vacation. Someone's in the fire station every day. If you take them food, take them good food. Don't be experimenting on the firemen, okay? Your house will burn down. They won't come and get you. Get a gift card to a family in need. Visit a convalescent home. Elderly people sitting in a convalescent home, some 60% of the people in convalescent homes don't get a visitor. Okay, so that's extra painful during holidays because they used to host holidays for their family. Now they're in the home. So go visit someone. We have a ministry. Call Lifeline. You get online, call them up, and go there and visit them. Military person, college student. Well, y'all are college students. So if some of y'all are real hungry and you're away from your family, you're not going to go home, go find someone. Say, can I come to your house? And you can log in volunteer hours for having me, and I'll log in volunteer hours for eating your food, okay? So two for one. And there's stuff on it. So go help some people. Go down to the rescue mission to help. All you fellas, Tuesday night, we're going to be right here, Men of the Rock. Let's fill this up with guys, and we're going to talk about dealing with adversity and stuff like that. Okay, I want to call out Stephanie and whoever she's got back there that did our worship today. They've been killing it today with the music, and I just want to acknowledge them. Come on out here. They're bringing out the instruments. You know, because they always play and then they leave. And then I come out here and I just wanted to tell y'all, today was it was ridiculous. I'm looking in the back. I heard five times, like, we need to put this on television. Because you got the violins with the, and you got the rap, and then you got you up there blowing like, and y'all know Stephanie, right? Stephanie, amen. I'm not a music guy, right? Which I'm assuming most of y'all just experience it, but you really don't know what's going on. You just know it sounds good. And so one of the things Stephanie does, now how do you arrange, tell us what arranging the music is, because I keep hearing that. Tell us what that means. You take a song. Oh, you don't have a mic. My bad. Excuse me.
Sure. I guess arranging is like when you'll write the parts for the different instruments.
So you wrote all that stuff?
Most of it, a lot of it.
Who wrote the stuff you didn't write?
Indescribable and Moving Forward were the ones that I didn't write. But okay. This arranger, I forget his name, really good.
Yeah. It just sounded great. I just wanted to have y'all tell us you sounded great. That was it. Listen, amen. Let's give him a big hand. Come on, let's give him a big hand. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you.
How about themselves?
How many of y'all do not know what
means?
You don't know what that means. It means how about them San Diego Chargers, what it means. Do we have any Denver Bronco fans in here? No, hey, don't boom. Wait. You don't need to boom, they lost. So just say, hey, God bless you, brother. We know we whooped on y'all, but it's okay. You know, it's all right. You know, you already beat them down. You already beat them down. Don't kick them. They're Christian brothers. You're welcome here anytime. So it's 1-1. So we may see him again in the playoffs. So anyway, God bless y'all. So let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's try that one more time. Say word. Let's see your pens.
Lesson plan.
Let's turn to Luke chapter 10.
Luke, I am your father.
Luke 10. Look to the person next to you, ask them, are they having a hard time finding it? Y'all got it? Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for all the people that are here. We thank you that for the visitors. We thank you for the sinners. We thank you for the depressed, the lonely, the suicidal, the beaten, the discouraged. We thank you that they are here because you want them here where they can hear your word and be encouraged by your word and be set free by the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. About 3 months ago, I was in the Philippines. And I went to, we were setting up an event there in 2011. And one of the places we went was this place called Parola, where they, it's about 500,000 people live in these little shacks stacked up next to each other. Most don't have electricity or running water. And they actually live behind a wall, and behind the wall, all the shacks, and then one section of it is on the river, actually on garbage when you get close to the water. So the lady who was taking us through it, she lends people money there, like $35, $50, and they start a business. So she's taking us through, and there's little kids running everywhere, and some of the little kids have their front teeth are rotted black, and it's just dogs in there. It's just really no plumbing. It's dirty. It smells. It was really sad. And when people die, when some people die, they'll lay the body right out in front of the door, and you know, for up to a month before they can bury it. And so it's a really discouraging place to go. But this woman is lending these people money. Her ministry is lending money. About 98% of the people pay the money back, so it's very high repayment. And to get the money, you have to go into a Bible study. She has 6,000 of these little Bible studies. It's incredible what she's done. So she's taking us around and showing us these people that she's lent money to and the businesses they have in there. And one of them had like a hometown buffet. It was like all these pots of stew. And so she was telling me, I said, you know, tell us about it. And she lent the lady, I think, $50 or something. And she had fish, a pot of fish stew or fish something, and then a pot of beef stew and some chicken stuff. And then she had a pot of, let me get the name of it, it's called dinuguan. Does anybody know what dinuguan is? You know what dinuguan? Huh? You know what it is? Okay, so do y'all know what chitlins are? How many of y'all do not know what chitlins are? You do not know what chitlins are. You never heard of chitlins. If you never heard of chitlins, raise your hand. Oh, my goodness. Okay. chitlins are pig intestines, okay? Okay, so dinuguan is pig entrails cooked in the blood. So it's this big pot of cooked stuff in blood. Now, I'm like a real basic eater. Like, I eat meat, like hamburgers and steak, potatoes, french fries or mashed potatoes or baked potato, you know, salad, Italian food, which is basically sauce, cheese, pasta, and meat. That's it. Chicken and fish, and that's it. So when I go places, like, around the world, they always want to give you stuff. Oh, try this. I'm like, no, that's okay. You got a cheeseburger, you know what I'm saying? Oh, no, you need to try this. It's, you know, no, I'm what you call a punk. So when I was in the Philippines, they gave us this soup with the head of the fish in the soup with the eye. I'm like, got the knife and the fork, and the dude's looking at me like this, like, what you going to do? You going to eat me? I was like, my bad. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Just swim around in there. You know, you'll be all right. I'll go over here and get a hamburger, okay? Then I kind of turned it over. His other eye was looking at me. So they got balut. It's an egg. It's an egg where the chick. Okay, you know an egg is little. It's a chick. It'll grow into a chick. You know that, right? You know that's what an egg is, don't you? Okay. Whew. This is where the chick is just about ready to come out, and you crack it open and you eat the feather. So I'm just not down with all any of that. So when I go places, I have to be, you know, because I'm like, you know, I got to be diplomatic. You know, you don't want to offend people, you know, so you got to try stuff. So I've gotten these real slick ways of getting out of, you know, it's very good, very good. Very good, very good. So a stew is where you have all these different meats and vegetables and all these different kind of foods in a pot. I want to talk about compassion stew. Compassion stew. Everyone say compassion. We are supposed to be people of compassion. And Jesus in this story is going to be asked, how do I go to heaven? And he's going to tell a guy, you need to have compassion, in so many words. He's going to tell it in story form. Now, whenever Jesus is asked, what do I need to do to go to heaven? And then he answers the question, he usually talks about a behavior, like loving the least of these or selling what you have and giving it to the poor. He's not saying that if you want to go to heaven, do those things. He's saying people who are going to heaven do those things. There's a difference. So one person can give to the poor and go to heaven, and one person can give to the poor and go to hell, because it's not the act of giving to the poor. It's the relationship with Christ that caused you to give to the poor. So the gospel is not information or a list of four laws or rules. The gospel is a relationship. Everyone say relationship. So salvation is a relationship. It's having a relationship with a living God based on how he has prescribed the relationship. Once you have that relationship, these are the kind of things that God will tell you to do and direct you to do. And so these are the kind of things you need to be open to do, because that's the kind of things Jesus wants to do. These are the kind of things he does all the time, and he does them through people. So if you have a relationship with Christ, this is the kind of stuff he's going to ask you to do. And by the way, if you have a relationship with Christ, there's a whole lot of stuff he will never do. So you have people saying, I'm a Christian, but they're doing stuff God would never do. Then you have to question, do they have a relationship with Christ? And that's between them. But if you say, I'm a Christian, and you want to do stuff Christ doesn't want you to do, you really need to really think, am I really saved? And what is the nature of my relationship? Because for some reason, I'm ignoring what he wants me to do. So in this story, he's going to say, how do I enter into life? And then he's going to tell him the story, and it's going to deal with compassion. Everyone say compassion. Okay, so let's read Luke 10, verse 25. It says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit life? Now, before I go any further, I just want to ask, does anybody in here want to go to hell? Couple, anybody? Okay, no one wants to go to hell? Okay, good. Because if you do, you don't need to be here. You can leave. You should just leave and just do what you want, then you go to hell. Okay, so I assume y'all want to go to heaven. In Grand Cayman, I was just in Grand Cayman Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. They have a place called hell. There's actually a hell post office. There's a hell gift shop where you can buy a card and a postcard and send it to yourself saying you went to hell and back and you made it, okay, whatever. It's a place where they have a little swamp with black coral coming out of the ground, real pointy like flames, and it's called hell. So just a little side note, I've been to hell and back and I made it because I got Jesus, okay? Okay. And there's actually a church up the street at the gates of hell. There's actually a church at the gates of hell. Okay, you got all the hell metaphors, right? Okay, so it says in verse 26. Jesus says, what is written in the law? What is your reading of? In other words, you're a lawyer or an expert in Old Testament law or the Old Testament Bible. What does the Bible say? How to get to heaven? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, the man, wanting to justify himself, says to Jesus, who is my neighbor? In other words, do I really have to love everybody? In other words, what is the loophole of the Bible? Now, as humans, we are always looking for the loophole. In other words, I know the Bible says I shouldn't have sex before I get married, but we're in love. That's the loophole. No, that's not a loophole. That's not a loophole. That may be one you made up, but that's not a legitimate loophole. Well, I know the Bible doesn't say I should smoke cigarettes, so I can smoke cigarettes. Well, that's a loophole. The Bible says your body's a temple of the living God. And you wouldn't smoke a cigarette in a building, church. So you're the church. You're the church. So we're always trying to find loopholes on what we can get away with and how we can get away with it. So Jesus, of course, being smart as he is, a matter of fact, look at verse 25. It says, "Behold, the lawyer stood up and tested Jesus." Is that stupid? Just say that's dumb. Don't try to test God. Don't try to trick God. Don't try to manipulate him. He's smarter than you. He will always be smarter than you. He's smarter than all of us combined. So it's dumb. So he says, "Jesus, let me try to, you know, what can I get away with?" And then he says, in verse 30, "Who is my neighbor?" And in verse 30, Jesus said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Now, Jerusalem was 2,300 feet up above sea level. Jericho was 1,300 feet below sea level. So it was 3,600 feet down. And then it wasn't straight down, so it was over a mile-long road, winding down like as if you were driving down into Borrego or Palm Springs. And it's desert. And so this long road in the middle of nowhere, and the climate is just like San Diego, Alpine, El Cajon, Palm Springs. That's just the same climate as they have in San Diego's in Israel. And so this road goes winding down on the side of the road of cliffs that go down 1,000 feet. When I drove up this road. I was only in Israel one time. The bus actually hangs over the cliff, and you can see straight down. The bus driver saying, "Everyone get to the left," so the bus doesn't, you know, fall over. So everybody's kind of good with their video cameras like this, trying to point down and look at the stuff. So this road is real windy and long in the middle of nowhere. People would get robbed on this road. So Jesus says, there's a guy who gets robbed. He gets beat down. And guess what happens? Look what happens next. He's beat up, robbed, and he's laying for dead. "By chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." Everyone say compassion. Okay, so here's a guy on the road. He's all messed up. He got beat up. He's laying on the road. And a priest who is at the top of the religious food chain in the Jewish community. This is not a Catholic priest. It's a Jewish priest. And his job is to perform all the religious ceremonies in the temple. He's at the top of the religious food chain. He comes, and he goes on the other side of the road. "No, I ain't going near that guy." Then a Levite, who is also high up in the religious food chain, their job was they could take care of all the holy instruments, the chalice, the cups, and all the furniture. They could move all that stuff. No one else could touch that stuff. They were high up in the food chain. This guy comes by. He comes by and looks at the guy, and then he walks on the other side of the road. Then it says a Samaritan came and had compassion. Now, the Samaritans lived in northern Israel, and they rejected Jerusalem as the place of worship. They rejected all of the Old Testament except the first five books. They said the rest of the Old Testament was made up. And so there was conflict between the Jews and the Samaritans. And even Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman, they weren't supposed to talk. Well, you didn't, a man wasn't supposed to talk to a woman in public anyway. But the woman said, "Listen, you guys worship down there. We worship here." And it was conflict. And so this guy, Jesus is saying, your Jewish friend, one of your people, got robbed. And one of your own people rejected one of your own people. And then another one of your own people rejected one of your own people. And then someone who wasn't one of your people came and helped one of your people, just like one of your people should have helped one of your people, but they didn't. And so here it'd be like a black guy getting beat up. This is a metaphor, so just deal with it. A black guy getting beat up. He's on the side of the road all jacked up. Another brother comes by and sees him, doesn't help him. Another brother comes by and sees him, come down, help him. And then a Ku Klux Klan guy comes and helps him. Okay, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor, so just deal with it, okay? That's what this story's about. He's saying one of your people who don't even like you had compassion. And look what he says. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine on him, set him on his own animal, brought him in from the inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out his own money, 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. He gave him a credit card. So which one of these three do you think was his neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy. And Jesus says, go do that. Number one in your notes, compassion. Compassion makes your pain, makes their pain your pain. If you have compassion, you will feel pain of other people. See, pity looks down and says, I feel sorry for you. Compassion gets down and says, I feel sorry with you. Pity saying, oh man, you don't got a girlfriend, too bad, I got me a woman. Compassion says, man, I want to try to help a brother out because I know how lonely it could be. And by the way, if you don't have a girlfriend, doesn't mean you have to be lonely. You can really be happy by yourself. You know what I'm saying? Jesus. Girls, too. It's really true. You don't have to have a man. But if you got issues, you might want to try to get one, okay? But let me tell you something encouraging, ladies. Do not, and I stress and repeat, do not. Let me say it one more time. Say it with me. Do not settle. You let God bring you the right. If it's just, I don't know. You know how you meet somebody, you go, I don't know. That's a no. That's a no. Okay. Same thing for you fellas. You know, she may be all that, you know, blah, 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 but just something ain't right, you know, and you don't even know it. You don't have to explain it either. You say, you know what, it's just not working out. Well, how come? You know, you don't like me, you don't like it. You know, I just can't explain it, but I got to go. Compassion. I watch Cops, Lock Up. Do y'all know what that show is? How many of y'all do not know what Lock Up is, a show? How many of y'all do not know what Cops is? What they gonna do when they come for you? I watch these shows, and they do not make me feel good. They make me feel bad. And I watch them for that reason, not because I want to feel bad. It makes me mad at the devil and keeps me focused. You can get so comfortable, you think, oh, okay, everything's doing good. And then you say, no, no, no. There's people out there that the devil has his grip around their throat. And it makes me mad. And that's my business, try to get their hands off his throat. So I watch these shows and I see these people that God made in his image that can do incredible things. And the devil has diminished some of them to be an animal. Let me explain the difference between a human and an animal, or a person and an animal. A person is a created being that God created in his image for the purpose and the ability to have relationship with each other and with him in the same way he has relationship with his son. No other creature can do that. We can talk to each other. We can communicate to each other like other animals cannot communicate in the way we can, in the complexity we can. We can love. We can forgive. We can share ideas. We can create. We can do all the things God does on our level. And we can have a relationship with God. We can communicate with God, and he can speak to us and direct our decision-making. The devil will take someone like that, which all people have the potential, and diminish them to the point where they cannot have a relationship. Every interaction they have is destruction. It's death. It's evil. You can't have conversation. You can't have agreement. You can't have you can't walk together and accomplish anything because there's so much conflict. The other day, what's on the news every day? And Nancy Grace says this lady sold her 5-year-old daughter into sex slavery. That humans don't do that. Well, humans shouldn't do that. And a guy sold it to a guy. The guy sexually assaulted and killed her. 5 years old. That is satanic. And so I'm watching these TV shows, and I'm looking at these real life stories of the devil saying, I am going to ruin these individuals, and it hurts me. And then I go to bed, I'm going, okay, I got to go to work tomorrow. We got to do something tomorrow. This is not job to me. This is what Jesus was motivated. I should say a lot of what Jesus did is he's motivated by compassion. He says, they've been following me all day and they're hungry. Let's feed them. They're sheep without a shepherd. We got to help them. And so compassion is when you see someone hurting and you hurt with them. Their pain is your pain. Their struggle is your struggle. Okay, number two in your notes. Compassion turns your resources into their resources. Your resources into their resources. Now, I know some of y'all thinking, oh, here we go. He's trying to get my money. Well, we already took the offering, so, you know, don't worry about it. But let me tell you two things about trying to get your money. One, I'm not trying to get your money. It's not your money. It's God's. Your house ain't yours, even though I know a lot of y'all ain't got a house because y'all are in college. The furniture in your dorm room ain't yours. Well, you already know that. It belongs to the school. Some of your hair ain't yours. Ladies say amen. You see girls coming, they be just sporting like a short haircut. And the next day, they're like, down here. Like, what happened? What happened? But even the hair that's grown out of your head, your body's not yours. It don't belong to you. God bought it. And by the way, if you think it's yours, anything that you have is yours. You think it's yours to do whatever you want, and God is not in it, you need to tell him that because he's thinking it's his. And he's thinking he has some leverage to tell you what to do with it. So you need to go tell him, God, this is my stuff, so you need to leave me alone. Get your hands out of my business. This belongs to me. Now, if you are dumb enough to do that, go out like, you know, past Alpine, El Cajon area, where there's no people around, and do it out there. Because we don't want anyone else to get hurt when stuff happens, you know. Something jumps off, God may just say, you know, excuse me. And then, you know, then all of a sudden, body parts are flying. Now, God's not going to do anything to you. I'm not saying God's going to do anything to you, but you really do need to understand that everything he's given you, he's lent to you. And he's lent it to you so you may glorify him with it. Even your body, your voice, your intelligence, your ability to write, your ability to read, your ability to make fun, funny, to be funny, to do math, to spell. Some of y'all are real good at math, and some of y'all are real good at English. Some of y'all love to read. Some of y'all love to study. Some of y'all are athletic. Some of you can do all of that. You're scientific. Some of you are artistic. You know. What? Some of y'all, let me tell you something. When I was going to school, this brother, that brother, he was goofy. Today, this brother is the bomb. That's the dude that's going to run the world one day, okay? The Urkels of the world. They got a little pen protector, the pocket protector. Don't beware of those dudes. Because those are the dudes that grow up, and they get all fine, they get all these degrees, and all of a sudden you want to date them, but you didn't want to date them when they were kids. But the point is that God has given everybody some talent and some ability, and he says, I've given it to you so you can honor me because I'm the one who created it. Don't belong to you. And when God shows you somebody in need, you need to say to him, God, what do you want me to do? Because that bothers me. And when God gives you his burden for people, because God will give you a burden for people, there's nothing wrong with them on the outside. You don't even know them. You're talking to them, and God's, your heart's going out to them. You say, God, what's going on? He says, I'm going to show you in a minute. Keep talking. And all of a sudden, they tell you. It looks good on the outside. On the inside, there's pain. And sometimes God would tell me. He would say, ask them how they're doing. And they start crying. Or ask them, can you pray for them? You know, I talk to people everywhere all the time. And sometimes in the middle of the lobby of a hotel or on a street corner or wherever, God will say, hey, he'll tell me, can I pray for you? And all of a sudden, and this normal conversation goes to crying. And so you have to let God, I want to feel pain that you want me to feel, and I want you to tell me how you want me to use what I have. How you want me to use what I have. Number three. Compassion makes their struggle your struggle. Their struggle, your struggle. Let's read verse 34 again. It says, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine to clean out the wound. He set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. He didn't say, hey, here's a Band-Aid. He says, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to make sure you get to someplace safe. I'm going to sit here and care for you. And then he said to him, on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, his own money, 2 days' wages, gave it to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come, I'll repay you. I am going to make sure this guy gets care. As I said, I was in Grand Cayman on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we're setting up an event there next May, 8th through the 16th. It's going to be a week. And we'd love to take 100 people from the church. There's 60,000 people on this island. I'm sorry, 60,000 people in the country. It's 3 islands, a whole country. We will have 12,000 to 13,000 people here today. 5 times that is the whole country. So we met with business people. We went on the only television station they had. We met with the pastors, half the churches in the whole country. We met with the president. They call it the premier. We met with him. And they're all like, we're going to have a Do Something festival preceded by a Do Something campaign of 3 months of serving and reaching out to the community, reaching out to the youth. And they're all, the whole country's like, let's go. And we're going to have the event at this place called the Black Pearl. It's this big, gigantic, actually, the Black Pearl is a skate park. Tony Hawk was there when they opened it and said it was one of the best in the world. And I actually went there, and I go there, right? And there's this local kid in flip-flops, no helmet. And the skate park is like maybe twice as big as this room. And it's deep. I mean, just... So he's just skating around this thing, no helmet, long shorts, and just flip-flops, and just going... He's just like this. I said, hey, brother, can you teach me how to do that? He said, no. Oh, no. But I just went down this little hill, just like, you know, like that. I was scared. So we're going to have skate demonstrations. They have a wave pool. We're going to have a wave demonstration. Then we're going to have this big event. So like to bring it up. But the point is that when I was there, God told me, he was clarifying with me my purpose. He says, I want you to make their burden, their struggle, yours. They have a crime going up. And when I say crime, from 0 murders to 6. 0. They used to have no murder, no crime. They had 6 this year. And there's gangs popping up. It's very minimal compared to San Diego. But to them, it's a big deal. He says, I want you to make their burden, their struggle, your struggle. You go in there and you adopt them. You adopt that land as your own. I want you to live with that as though you lived there, as though those are your people, because they are. Those are my brothers and sisters in Christ, just like you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when you see someone hurting, you got to say, Lord, Are you making me feel that pain? Do you want me to walk with them and struggle with them? Now, our society in the United States of America will tell you, and TV and the media will tell you, make money, have fun, and be comfortable. Create your own little safe, fun bubble, and you want to avoid all drama. God will tell you the opposite. He will tell you, you know, doesn't mean you don't have a nice place, doesn't mean you're trying to get a job, but God will tell you, I want you to follow me. We're going to go do some stuff. And he's going to take you by the hand and lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. But when you're in the valley of the shadow of death, because you got to go through it to get through it, you got to go in it to get through, when you're in the valley of the shadow of death, God's going to stop and say, let's help some people in here. You're like, oh, it's kind of scary. I know, but I'm here. Don't worry about it. We used to play hide and seek in my house. We would turn off all the lights. And the object of the game, y'all play hide and seek? Y'all did that growing up? Did anybody watch this? This would be really sad. Has anyone never played hide and seek? Okay. Whew. Okay. Here's how y'all play hide and seek. Someone counts and you got to go back to base, right? You got to run to the tree or the car or something. Is that how y'all play it? Okay, that's weak. Here's what we do. We turn off all the lights in the house, and the object of the game is to scare the mess out of the person looking for you. So my kids were like, you know, 3, 5. And I'm like, I'm going to make you cry. No, you're not, Daddy. No, you're not. I said, yes, I am. And we turn on the lights. Boom, boom, it's pitch black. And they give me a flashlight. And I go hide. I could hide in the paint. I could just right into the wall. Like Terminator, right? And they're walking through the house going, Dad. Then I'm like, ah. Trying to think why I brought that up. Oh. I would play hide and seek, and sometimes I would go with one of my kids, and we would look together because they were scared. And they would, like, hold on to my leg. I was the only safety net they had. That's what God's going to do for you. She said, come on, we got to go help this person. You got to trust me. I was talking to a guy today. He's 34 years old. He spent all his life in gangs. Friends killed, jail, everyone's dead or in jail. The real deal. He got saved 4 months ago, got his family back together, got 3 kids. He's coming to church, reading the Bible every single day. Goes 4 nights a week, he's coming to some church activity, got baptized. This is hilarious. He was in the Bloods. He got baptized by a Crip. The Crip who baptized him is a pastor here on staff, and he's a white guy. So he got baptized by a white Crip. We were in the back cracking up about how, like, ridiculously backwards that is. And he is saying, I am going back and getting them. That's what he's going to do. That's his mission. That's what he knows. He's a very smart guy. He's an intelligent guy. This brother is going to, I was telling him today, brother, if you just keep reading the Bible and you get ready, there is plenty of work I got out there for you. Cayman Islands, they got gangs now. They don't know what to do. Let's go. And so my point is that God is going to take you places that you may feel a little uncomfortable, but I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, it'll be the most exciting thing you ever did. But you have to trust him. So when you leave here and you see someone struggling and God says, go help them. Just go help them. You don't have to know what's going to go on. Some of y'all, when you leave here, you see people standing at this bus stop right here. Pick them up and give them a ride. Now, girls, do not get in a hot car with a guy. Girls, don't pick up a guy. Don't put yourself in that kind of position. But if y'all together and there's, you know, whatever, and you feel like it's safe and you got a guy and a girl together or whatever, whatever, or 2 guys in the car and there's a guy in the stop, give the guy a ride. Go up on the bus stop and act like you're catching the bus. Meet the people. You see something cool, say, hey, we want to ride home? Why can't you do that? You can. But when you drive here, they're standing there. You know how it hassles. They got to stand there for 30 minutes and take them 1.5 hours to get home. And they live right here in downtown. They're going to take 3 buses to go right there. My point is that there's so many people in our community, or your community, wherever you live, that God says God would love to help if you would have some true compassion. Remember, pity looks down, compassion gets down. Go down to 11th Street and sit on the curb. Put your butt on the sidewalk and have a conversation with a homeless person. Just talk to them. Hey, tell me what's up. Go to prison with our prison ministry for only one day. How many of y'all are 25 or give or take 2 or 3 years? Very good. Go to prison and you'll see someone your age doing life sentence. And he's got a son, a daughter, 2 and 3 years old. He'll never be out ever in his life. And when you talk to him, you will talk to him for 2 hours and you will try to figure out one difference between him and you will not find it. He'll be just like you. He did something and he deserves to pay, but he's just like you. And he'd be like, man, that one decision, and he's in here for life. It'll break your heart. Jesus said, when you go to prison, you come to visit me. So here's my two challenges for you. Be this kind of neighbor that Jesus talks about. Be this kind of neighbor to somebody. Don't tell people you're a Christian. Show them. You don't have to tell people. If you got to tell people, something ain't right. Well, I'm a Christian. You? No, really. Yeah, I really am. You really need to believe me. You just blew it. Something ain't right. You need to have them come to you and say, what's up with you? What you mean? You different. Jesus. So one, be this person. Two, Jesus is your neighbor. In other words, what this guy did to that guy, Jesus wants to do to you. Well, I've never been beat up. Yes, you have. Emotionally, sexually, you've been taken advantage of. Socially, physically, you're a sinner. You're discouraged. You're suicidal. You're addicted. You feel lonely. We can go on forever. And the devil's luring you in and telling you he has a solution, and he's lying to you. He's lying to you. And you need to say to God, God, I want you to take care of me. I want you to take care of me. If sometimes you think life is too hard, I can't deal with this, welcome to the club. I feel that all the time. I have to do the same thing you have to do. God, help me. Help me. But you have to ask him. You have to allow him to put you on his animal as he did in the story. You have to allow him to take you to an inn, bandage you up, encourage you. You have to let him do that. You have to ask him to do that. You can't just play the part and just assume it's going to be okay. Because let me tell you, going to church saying Jesus' word doesn't mean everything's going to be okay. Unfortunately, it's not. That's not even close to being good enough. It's a good first step. But you have to surrender your life to Christ and allow him to be your neighbor. So in a minute, we're going to pray. I want to encourage you in two things. One, be this kind of neighbor this week. And then forever, okay? Oh, and by the way, the reason this church exists, and I'm not going to tell you something that's not true. The reason this church exists is because of this. Because of compassion. That's it. My first 40-day fast, I did two 40-day fasts. In the middle of my fast, I would drive down the street. We were getting ready to do a youth, well, at the time called Crusades, at the sports arena. We did two nights. We had 19,000 kids over the two nights. I used to drive down the street, and I would see kids walking to school. Kids I didn't know walking to school, and my heart would break. And God would just, give me this burden. He didn't tell me specifically about those kids. I didn't know them, but he would say, they need me. They need me. Why I'm here five times on Sunday? Some of y'all should come at 8 o'clock. Go to every service one day. 8, 10, 12, 5, 7. Just come. I know you probably get tired of hearing me say the same thing. I got to hear it. Come five times and see how long of a day it is. Because some of y'all just got up a few hours ago. But the reason I tell you that is just compassion, motivation. Motivation. God, if you let God's compassion drive you, you will do things way beyond what you think is possible. And he will strengthen you beyond strength you already have. In a minute, we're going to pray, and some of y'all need to say, Lord, I need you to be my neighbor. I need you to heal me. I need you to encourage me. I've been carrying this burden that I need to get off my shoulder. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you so much that you do love us. Thank you so much that you've allowed us to have this beautiful place to worship you. to talk about you, to learn about you. Thank you for all the lives that have been transformed in this room. And one day we're going to be in heaven, and whether we'll remember this room or not, I don't know, but I know we'll see what you did in all those people's lives that have walked forward in this room. Also, the other church building we had in Ruffin Road, and before that, San Diego State, and before that, Horizon, and all the thousands and hundreds of thousands of people around the world that have given their lives to you. We thank you for that. But Lord, there's millions more we got to go get. We got to go get them. And I pray that you would raise up pastors and evangelists and leaders and strategists and organizers from this room, from this church, that we would transform the world, that we would shock the world. And Lord, there's somebody here today, they walked in here with a burden. It may be a burden that only they know. And they're ready to give it to you. And I pray that they would give it to you as we pray. If you want to give God your burden, your sin, your fears, your guilt, your shame, your hopelessness, your discouragement, your suicidalness, whatever you want to give God, give it to him as you pray this prayer of surrender with me. In the privacy of your heart, say, "Dear God, I believe you love me and know who I am. I know you died on the cross and rose from the dead. Jesus, thank you for being good to me. Thank you for being my Lord and my Savior. Please forgive me. I surrender my life to you. I'm ready to do it your way. Thank you, God." As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And by standing, you are acknowledging your confession and you are acknowledging God's acceptance of you. By faith, you are doing that. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. God bless you. 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 God bless you.